Rumor Hits.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Studio Podcast. This ugly thing is here finally.
I'm back, everybody.
God.
You're welcome.
I apologize for that.
I apologize.
This thing is here.
Last week.
I'm sorry.
Suck ass without me. Oh, but
Pete Capella was awesome, man. Thank you, Pete Capella.
Awesome,
great interview.
It was a great interview.
It was fun to watch.
I'm sorry about the whole Donatello
thing. Oh, my gosh. Oh, by the way, yeah.
Quez is here, but
we also have Hugo in the podcast. Gamino, right? Gamino. Yeah, I'm always saying Gamino. Right. And of course, Quez right there. But welcome to the podcast. Welcome back to the RGB,
back,
dude.
Welcome back, brother.
Jesus Christ, bro.
Crazy back in the new studio. And shout out to you guys.
Thank you so much, man.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming out, man. Coming out to play with us for a little while. But yeah, man. We've been keeping an eye on you.
Not in a creepy way, but we've been.
No, really in a creepy way. Really in a creepy way, yeah. In a very creepy way. You want to raise your microphone, dude? Because we can't hear you for Jack. Pick it up, dude. There you go. No. Pick it up. There you go. No. What? That. Come on, buddy. Stimulate it.
Talk to it a little bit.
Talk to it.
Tickle it, dude.
That's perfect. All right.
Oh,
my gosh, dude. Anyways, man, today's podcast, we have Hugo on the podcast with him. We want to know where your journey's at. Before foremost, let's take a little walk back.
Yeah.
Tell us where you're from, where you grew up, and all that good stuff. And then we're going to talk about what you're doing now. So go ahead, man. The mic's yours, homie. Go for it.
Yeah. So born in the Midwest, and my brothers and I, my mom, we moved down to South Texas in the mid-80s. Raised in Donna, ghost town. I went to grade school after high school, and then I did a semester at TSDC in the culinary program.
All right.
And then I moved to Chicago. I went to the culinary program out there, playing junior college baseball. And then I came back. I worked at two restaurants here, and then I really wanted to kind of make my bones in the industry and fine dining. So. I moved to DC. I worked in restaurants out there. I ran a couple of kitchens, stage at Michelin star restaurants. Mm-hmm. So stage basically means you work a certain period of time at a restaurant for free, essentially.
Okay.
To gain experience, build your resume. And a lot of times you want to do that at super fine dining restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked in the industry for 11 years back of the house as a chef.
There you go.
And then I transitioned into the fashion industry. It took a different turn. I got burned out in the kitchen, and I worked for Brooks Brothers, Tom Ford, Michael Kors, product development,
nice.
Product design. And then that kind of took me to Chicago for fashion design school, and that's where I started working for the Chicago Cubs.
There you go.
I was there for 4 years with them.
Nice.
Assistant Director of Operations for the Premium Department, and I basically did menu development, restaurant design, uniform design, beverage design, and it was a great experience. And then I started my own company, and then I started kind of organically started doing marketing, social media stuff.
TikTok blew up, bro. I mean, it's been blowing up left and right.
You're popular with the kids, as they say.
You're that popular boy.
Since the last time we talked, it really, and I obviously, I started, there was a lot of cooking content.
Yeah.
And the goal was always just to kind of cook, but I always wanted to write, right? I always wanted to be a writer.
Right.
So I used the food content as the vessel to tell these stories.
Right.
And a couple of stories blew up, and some publications picked it up. And then that's kind of how it started circulating throughout social. I wrote a story about my mom, and that one kind of went up to, I think it was like close to 2.2 million views.
Yeah.
The one with Mocha Hitos.
Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Bro, every time I see a Mocha hit that, I hear his voice. And I told my friend, hey, do you really have to like, you have to soothe it out, or how do you mean, season it?
Here we go. All right, ladies, what about your ingredient books? Yeah, watch out what's going on here.
No, it's like, I hear from certain people that when you already get one, you have to like...
Oh, yeah, so you have to season it. So basically, seasoning means like you have to, especially with a mocajete, like they have a lot of grooves in inner, like with the stone.
Yeah.
So you have to get rice, like mill it a couple different times, clean it out, mill it a couple different times. It's very similar to like a cast iron skillet, right? Like
yeah.
Where you put oil, burn it deep. And basically it's like ready to go. So yeah, it's like, it's about seasoning, but yeah.
I was doing the trailer last night. And I was looking at the way you're doing the bread and you're doing the onions, that whole dish that you made. And I was freaking like, God damn, man. I go, I got to taste some of this stuff, dude, that he makes.
It's Michelin really, five-star food, dude. You can't afford it.
I know I can't afford it, but...
Just go to Whataburger, dude.
I need to go to Whataburger. Can you do this?
Well, it's funny, man, because I really love, like on this trip that I came down, I was really trying to like scout areas to do like a pop-up dinner series here.
Right.
Like from here, I'd love it here. I would love to like partner up with like a restaurant somewhere and do like a 30 to 60 person like dinner. Mm-hmm. And really, because I do have a following down here, obviously being from here, I, you know, family and friends following and stuff like that. But
right.
For me, I've cooked everywhere outside of that, right? Like in Chicago, New York, DC. And I've never been able to do it here, and I would love to do it.
I would love
to be able to like cook, like have a dinner specially made for this region,
right?
Friends and family, and have like people come that I like grew up with, my family,
right?
Because nobody ever got to experience that, right? Like, I think I don't know, dude. You know what? I don't even think that my mom ever had a chance to go to any of the restaurants I worked in, like
right.
DC.
Wow. Right.
So it's like, for me, it would be great to do that, to be able to have that experience, especially down here.
Consider the fact down here, the backbone of Mexican food, I mean, being so close to the border as a border town, I would think it'd be a kind of hard level for me, to like, if you're a cook and you're bringing down this new culture of Mexican food, you have a lot of critics out there, you know, and you know, you have to accept that.
But at
the same time, you're bringing a different mix to the flavors, you know, because you've been pretty much all over the U.S. and you've dabbed in a lot of things.
Yeah, man. You know what? I see a lot of like talent coming back to the Valley that went and explored, you know. So for instance, I'll give you an example. I went to Teddy's Barbecue today.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Shout out to Teddy's.
Phenomenal barbecue. Like, and, you know, not just like, and I think people need to understand, right? Like, barbecue is like hard. It's so hard to master that.
Yeah.
So to see like them, I think they're originally from Westaco. He went to College Station, worked out there, and then came back, right? There's a place out in Mission called Analiz Taqueria.
Okay.
They're James Beard Award nominee. Right, so like buzz is starting to happen down here, right? And I think what I love about it is that these restaurants are staying really true to the core of like the Rio Grande Valley, of like what they are, but they're using techniques that they've learned at other places and like bringing it here, right? So
right.
I think that if I was to cook, it obviously would be something that would be, you know, techniques that I've learned in my career, but very regional to the food here, right? Like I think you know, doing something with a lot of citrus because we're known for citrus, doing something with a lot of onion because we're known for onion,
mm-hmm.
right? Obviously, like my yeast and shit like that, but like, I'm sorry.
It's all good.
That's good.
Sorry.
You fucked up.
I would love that opportunity to do that. But I think the thing about it is, I was talking to my friend Patrick from that lives here in Westaco, and
mm-hmm.
he's really embedded in the community here and the commerce here. And he's always trying to get me to move back. And I'm always like in that realm of like, I would move back if the opportunity was right, but I would love to test the market first of like restaurant spaces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So it's that kind of thing. You know,
and that's kind of like what I was thinking too. Like if you did open up a pop-up dinner, yeah, like you wanted to have, like what would that look like? Because yeah, we were talking before the show about how you know, the like Mexican food is regional.
Yeah,
and how like if you make something a specific way, people are used to it tasting a different way.
Yeah,
you know, they'll give you that feedback that they don't like it or it's not how they prefer it. And when they say stuff like that, it's like they like, oh, that's not how, you know, I'm used to it. I wonder to myself, does that mean you don't like it, or do you like it and you're just not used to it, or like what's?
I think, you know, like I said earlier, like food is very food can be controversial, and food, yeah, is very like personal to the person, especially when you're talking about regional cultural dishes like rice, beans,
yeah,
things like that.
Absolutely.
Right? If I was to answer your question, if I was to do a pop-up dinner, I think that it would be a culmination of everything that I've done in my career, right? Obviously raised in like Latino Mexican cooking, mm-hmm, but I'm classically French trained, and I worked, the majority of my career was in Italian fine dining. Mm-hmm. So there would be a lot of mixture of that, right? Like there's like a dish that I developed, it's angolotti pasta, so it's basically like a rectangular like ravioli.
Okay.
But like an idea that I've had is to take cook down chivo birria, cook it down, render the fat, fill the pasta, fresh made pasta, mm-hmm, with that, and then doing a like a consumer base with like a cilantro oil. So it's very much like speaking to like my cuisine of like I was cooking an Italian food, but
yeah,
this is like a very Mexican staple. Mm-hmm. So my goal always when I'm like cooking is always trying to mimic flavor, texture of the dish, but reconstruct it in like my version.
That sounds amazing, first of all.
Yeah, thank you. No, yeah, yeah.
So you've tasted Mexican food outside of the state?
Yeah, when I was younger, I used to travel into Mexico to visit, you know, aunts and uncles that still lived over there.
I don't know why. But every time I step out of state, I don't eat Mexican food. I don't
it's because real.
I'm scared.
No. I feel you.
No, like no, here in Texas, like, okay, like down here, like we make our tortillas, tacos, all that stuff here. Like when I go out of state, I don't know why, I just don't
crave it.
I don't try it. I don't want to try it. I don't know, because I'm so used to.
Yeah.
I just don't want to taste something
bad with it. No, I feel you. Because like when I was younger and you know, not as evolved as I am right now, like it was real, dude.
Yeah.
It was real. Like those moments of like when, you know, my tia chicken to make,
yeah,
like that shit's real.
Yeah.
And it,
yeah,
tastes real too.
Yeah. When people ask me all the time, like, how did you get into cooking? And I was like, yeah, you know, a lot of people cooked in my family, but my grandfather, like I remember going to farms here and getting like going with them and my uncles,
mm-hmm,
picking up a chivo, him hanging it on the swing set, butchering it there, killing the chickens. Like, so it was like a
memories.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it, yeah, was like that was something that I grew up with, right? And, mm-hmm, me myself, like I think that regionally, like Mexican food, I'm fortunate enough that like my parents are from different states in Mexico. Like my dad's from Jalisco and my mom's from Tamaulipas.
Oh, okay.
So like I grew up tasting different versions, yeah, of everything.
Yeah,
right?
Like, if I had to pick a region, I've heard most about the cooking is like places like Jalisco.
Yeah,
that, you know, it's just like I keep hearing words like explosion of flavor and things like that from people. That
are, yeah, it's just, you know, it's weird, man. Because I can remember, here's a funny story. I remember my brother. We went to Mexico, and my aunt, we went to Jalisco, and she offered us a bowl of some kind of chicken soup or something, and then, mm-hmm, my brother. And like in the brokenness of like the Spanish, he goes, my aunt's like, ¿Qué parte del pollo quieres? And Eric goes, la pata.
La pata.
And he meant like the leg, right?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I would have said that.
So my aunt comes out with the ball, dude, and it's a fucking claw. It's like hanging out. And she's like, yo, you asked for this, yo, right? Like, you asked for this.
I would have said that. You know, I would have said that. Quez would have said that.
I
got some stories on that one.
Yeah.
Later on, bro.
So it's like, yeah, you know, like, we all grew up. Like, I remember, like, we And then we ate enchiladas, and it was like way different from the enchiladas that I grew up with here eating right. at like in down the street at sunrise. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So, yeah. But that's everything, man. Like French cuisine, Northern, Southern French cuisine, Italian cuisine. Like, I like my mentor chef was a Northern Italian chef. Okay. So it was very fish, fresh, vegetable ingredients. We didn't go very heavy on like pastas. So it was very like Mediterranean based, like a lot of olives, fresh tomatoes. So I cook like that. Like that's my very, like my style of cooking.
Okay. Yeah, Jose Vega saying there's a lot of Jalisco tacos all over Chicago.
What's going on, Lisa?
Yeah. It's, you know, like I have a lot of spots in Chicago that I love that have a really great cuisine there. You know, I'm partial to it because I make families from there. I lived there for a while. You know, I lived there the last like 8 years before I moved to Phoenix. So, you know, I have a lot of like ties to that and loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, I mean, I think that food, to kind of go back to the subject matter of what you said, like if I was to cook for people down here and if I made something, I definitely get people that'd be like, the fuck is he doing, dude? Like this isn't like, you know, like this isn't like what we're used to.
And I think
in anything, right? Like you know, in music or in even podcasting, like
right.
You have to go into a situation knowing that there's gonna be a population of people that are gonna shit on you. Right.
Yeah, like you're not gonna be everybody's cup of tea.
You're putting your work out there, right?
Yeah, like your critics, man. There's always that one person that goes, I'm gonna give this guy shit, and that's gonna get me popular because I'm giving him shit. And if he answers back, it's even better. It's gonna make me look. People are gonna be looking me up.
It's called a troll.
It's pretty much a troll.
Yeah, man.
I've seen that happen so many times, and a lot of great people that are doing great content, and they do that shit, and it's bullshit. If I have to tell you the truth.
Man, it's an interesting thing to be able to like. My biggest thing that I'm trying to do with my work is. I'm trying to go against the grain of like the traditionalist of like what we've been grown up to do, right? Like we don't show emotion. I try to show as much emotion as I can, right? I try to be as vulnerable as I can. And I wasn't always like that. And it's still hard for me to do shit like that, right? Like in my writing, I write a lot about personal shit like that I grew up with.
Sammy Sosa can eat 40 condoms at a time. I totally understand.
Yeah. So you know, it's like weird, man. You gotta be okay with like when people don't. Not everybody's gonna like your sauce, man.
Right?
Like,
yeah,
you know
what I mean.
Like, so it's you kind of have to just like roll with it. You kind of move along. So
the only reason I really ask is because like I think to myself like if he's gonna be cooking for. Local taste, you know, but you want to, you know, stretch a little bit creatively. Yeah. It can be kind of difficult to balance that. And I just wonder, you know, if that plays in your mind. At all.
I think that I would come into it and I'd be very transparent of what the menu would be to people. Like, I think that I would be very open about that. It's not going to be Mexican food. I mean, there's going to be hints and it's going to be laced with storyline of Mexican, like, ingredients and flavors, but in my version, right? And it's gonna be like a one-time thing, one-time menu, and it's more so like an opportunity for me to be able to cook for my family and friends, right? For people for people to buy tickets to a dinner for the people that I could never cook for in my career, right? Like when I was away. So yeah, it would be fun to do it for sure.
I mean, it sounds fun. And you know, that chivo recipe that you mentioned, that sounds delicious. I'll buy a flaco of that any day. But it's just one of the things that pops into my mind because, you know, you can make, you know, the most incredible fish soup that exists. And, you know, there will be some people who will eat fish all day, you know, but there, you know, there's going to be that, like you said, that one person, like, this is disgusting. This time, I've never
Yeah, pretty much, again. Pretty much.
Yeah.
It comes with the territory, right? Like, we live in a world where everybody has an opportunity to be a critic. Where before, like, you know, like in food, you had to work for publication and you had to be able to be like a writer or a TV critic. Now, dude, Yelp is readily available, right? Like, you go in there. And you give a full Yelp review of whatever's on your mind. And Yeah, I'm very, I'm on the fence on Yelpers for sure. So
He's a Yelper over here. No, I actually avoid
bullshit. He's
stuff
a Yelper.
Like, would you shut the fuck up?
You're
trying to have an intelligent conversation.
Oh my God, really?
With another intelligent conversation.
For the first time.
Because I am surrounded by idiots.
Big shout out to Chew for defending himself for the first time ever on the podcast.
Shut the fuck up.
So as far, I mean, let me go back to that Chivo thing, man.
Me love McDonald's. good.
It's on. It's working. Right. Yeah. Right. By the way, guys, apologize. I forgot to switch off the audio on the StreamYard here to the mixer. So that's why you're hearing Hugo and Quay so far away, is because it was being picked up by a laptop. But we're up and running 100%. So here we go. Yes, it's running, dude.
All right. So should we start the interview all over again?
Let's start over again. So tell us about yourself the last time.
Who are you?
Why are you here?
Why are you here?
So going back to the whole Chivo thing, for the first time, I mean, do you do the whole butchering beforehand? Have you done it before?
I've definitely done butchering before. Like, it's something you kind of, like...
You heard me? I said that loud?
I grew, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I didn't do it, obviously, until I got in the industry.
Right, right.
And, but, like, by the time it sometimes gets to the restaurant, you're looking, like, at a half rack. You're looking like a half chivo. Like, not fully butchering sometimes. A lot of times when you're interviewing for a restaurant job, they make you, like, break down a fish. They make you break down, like, rabbit. They make you break down, like a hog leg and see how good your butchering knife skills are, things
right,
like that.
Right, right, right.
But a full, like, from start to finish, like, I haven't done that.
Oh, okay.
Like,
I was like, goddamn, dude.
No, dude, we went once. I was still a teenager. We were in high school, and my uncle called us out, and my cousin, my brothers and I, he's like, hey, I need your help on the ranch. Like, all right, fuck it, let's go.
Let's go.
And he's pulling a cow, right? And I'm like, oh, what are we gonna do? And I was like, my brother's like, dude, I think we're gonna like butcher this cow. And I was like, no fucking way, dude. No way I'm gonna see this slide, dude. So I turn around, man. I'm like, I can't see this. Well, sure enough, all I hear is like, I turn around, dude. My uncle's on it. He's like, starts like ripping it open, and he's like, here, like, hold this. And we start butchering, dude. We, like, start to finish, we start butchering that. My uncle starts butchering, him and his friends start, like, breaking it down. And at the end of it, man, like, he was like, here, give us to mama. And it's, like, fresh meat, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And my mom's like, oh, it's like, oh, awesome. My brother Eric was like, dude, I couldn't eat that. Dude. I was like, I couldn't eat that. And I think from there, that's where I, like, gained appreciation of, like, we were still in high school.
I would have been traumatized. Yeah, dude.
But my brother Eric was, dude. Like, he was traumatized for a little bit.
I think the first time I was at my uncle's ranch, side, my mom's side.
Mexico?
Her uncle, no. Actually, yes. Yeah, it was in Mexico. Shout out to Los Primos en Progreso. Oh, shout out to them out there.
Oh, yeah, the real ones.
Yeah. We went out there one, it was, I think, like a weekend. It was for a wedding.
Yeah.
And I remember going out there because he goes, oye, Mark, number one. He goes, ayúdame aquí con un chivo, me agarro las piernas. I'm like, what? Like, oh, this is when I was like really coconut. Yeah. Didn't know what the hell he was talking about. And he goes, from the legs. So I'm like, oh, from the legs. All right, I got from the legs. So my other people get some of the legs, we pick them up upside down. I'm like, okay, and poor goat's like, you know, freaking out. You know, he's upside down hanging. I'm like, what's going on here and what's about to happen?
Oh my God, what are you doing?
All of a sudden, he just like throat and then leg to the neck, leg to neck. I'm like, oh my God.
It was a ritual.
are we doing a ritual right now? Was he gonna come get a blood go over my head? Simba. No, it wasn't like that, dude. It was, man, he put the bowl underneath for all the blood to run down that bowl. I'm like, okay, he probably doesn't want to get the dirt dirty, whatever. Okay,
oh, you gotta save it.
No, he gets the blood, he saves it, he gives it to my mom's aunt, my great aunt, gives it to them, and they go and they start cooking and boiling it. I'm like, what are they doing, mom? Go, is this Carlito? This sangre de Carlito. I'm like,
what?
I'm like, what?
You never had it?
No, dude, what?
You ate it.
Wait, have you guys ever had blood sausage?
No.
Oh, bro, man, it is amazing.
I have not.
You take the blood.
The goat's blood.
or pig's blood, you know, blood of your choice.
Yes.
What?
And mom fed us all this stuff growing up. You never know what the hell you're eating, bro.
Yeah, no, man. I'm serious. I'm not playing around, for real.
You either cook it down and make it like a soup out of it, or sometimes you like let it coagulate, put seasonings in it, you mix it with a binder like rice.
Yeah.
And then you stuff it in its own intestines. You like let it hang. Sausage.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
You wrap it in like in links,
dude,
right?
It's so damn good, man.
Yeah, man.
It's so good.
I mean, all this time you've been eating gizzards, it's been goat balls. I mean, you don't know that, but I just tell you.
What are gizzards? Gizzards are good, but where are they?
They're goat balls, buddy. Goat balls. You love them, dude. You love them every time.
No, seriously. So you're telling me like the blood that's falling in the fucking bowl.
You
boil that fucking blood.
Yes.
The sauce.
Yes.
Dude, you can like head to toe. You can eat an animal. Like obviously, like
we're like, Mexican, dude. Why do you think goats kick the chicken when we're walking in place, dude? Come on. Think about it.
Yeah, dude. That's I didn't know that.
Look at that. Paul will go. Paul was freaking out. Quest right now. Like I'm really disappointed.
My whole life is
it's been a lie.
It's been a fucking lie, dude.
What do you mean it's been a lie? You weren't paying attention.
Why do you think you were very plump when you were little?
You're
a plump boy, so you ate everything. These two guys were plump boys when they were young, bro. Man.
Dude, so was I.
Well, one's still plump, but the other one. Figure it out.
This
method.
This guy.
Yeah, to this day, I love food, man. Like, we took our kids to eat at this event, and one of our friends was laughing because they were watching my kids and eating. And she's like, dude, your kids are like really into. I was like, oh, we love food, dude. Like, we are a family that loves to eat. Like,
right.
Did you open them up to like regional cuisine and stuff like that when they were
younger? They eat a lot different than I ate, right? Like, they're eating a lot. They're exposed to a lot more. Yeah. And you know, I love cooking for my kids, right? Like, I love cooking for my wife, for my kids, and it's like something that I really enjoy doing.
You use them as guinea pigs, don't you?
But it's so funny, dude. Like, sometimes I'll work my ass off on a dish, and at the end of the day, you got to remember you're feeding a 4-year-old, right?
Right.
Like, and your 4-year-old will look at your food and be like,
Dad, this shit sucks.
No, I don't want this. No. Yeah. And then, like, my youngest, he'll push it away, and then, like, I look at my wife, and my wife's like, dude, he's 2, maybe 4, right? Like, just chill.
He's not eating.
You're not leaving this table until you get to his plate.
So if you're asking me about critics, man, I care more about, like, if my kids, like, I there care more if my kids like my food or not.
There
like,
you go, dude.
But yeah.
He goes, crazy. Mom, who cooked his dad? Come over. Dad, what the hell is this?
He's gotten into, like, he's definitely, like, our rule is, like, you got to try it. Right, you got to try it once.
That's awesome.
And if you don't like it, you don't like it, right? But I the other day, like, I was like looking at my wife, and we had breakfast, and I made fresh brioche bun, like bread.
Right, right. Mm. You're always constantly making bread on your food.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of started. Like, I got back into cooking by getting back into bread.
Yeah, yeah.
So I made like brioche French toast and like homemade syrup and all this shit. And I'm like watching my kids. I'm like, dude, I grew up on migas. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I looked at my wife
eat migas today.
Dude, I eat migas like twice a week.
Hell yeah, man.
Dude, fuck yeah.
I'm the best Mexican invention ever.
It's the best, dude. It's the best.
It don't matter.
No. So I don't even eat it at midnight. I'm going to the kitchen and make some. Fuck, I don't
give a shit. I'm so passionate about migas, man, that if whatever menu that I would put on, like if I was to do like a pop-up, migas would be on the menu.
Hell yeah.
Like a version of migas would be on the menu. Menu. Like
migas with cebolla, tomate, with a little bit of chilito on top, mixed ranchero style. Come on,
but that's a beauty of like migas. Like it's like as basic, it's eggs and tortillas, right?
Then
you build it from there, and it can be whatever you want it to be, right? Like it's so good. Yeah. That's why I always tell people it's like the most versatile food. Anywhere, like you can do anything with it.
You can't go wrong.
I think at one time the wife made me migas one night. He goes, "You want migas? Yeah, I'm gonna make it a little bit different and see if you like it." She cooked it and everything. She threw mozzarella on top, and then she started. What'd you do? Is it queso blanco? I go, no, just taste it. And holy shit!
Yeah, I do like this is like a really cool version of doing it, right? Like you do the same thing and you open up pockets in the migas.
Right, right.
And you throw cheese on it, whatever cheese, melted cheese you want to do it.
Right.
And you let it sit, you don't mix it, you let it sit and you let it like burn, like you let the cheese burn. So you get like when you eat it, you get like crispy pieces of like a grilled cheese kind of like thing.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Mixed in with melted. See, this is what happens, dude. I get fucking passionate about migas, and yeah, I'm like, I'm on a roll now.
Like, hey, dude, you're making more and more fans.
People are answering real quick. My granny used to make us that. It says here, I haven't had migas in such a long time.
I made a video about it because it was like, dude, I was so passionate about like migas. Like, I think that it's like one of the greatest things ever.
That's freaking awesome.
Some of like the best meals that have come about in like any cuisine are poor man meals.
Hell yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Southern cuisine, like Mexican cuisine, there's a lot of things that like nopalitos are like one of my favorite.
Okay, you lost me. You lost me, bro. Nah, I can't stand it, bro.
You lost me.
Yeah. Throw some beans in there, I'll be all
right. I'll do nopales anyway, right? Like pickled or like guisados and a little bit of tomato sauce and a little bit of like cebolla.
Ain't gonna happen.
All right, dude. So if I do a pop-up and you come, I'm going to specifically put like a nopal dish on the menu.
This
dish right here is $15. But you eat that nopal, you can eat it for free. What? Yeah. No, here's a $15. Get it off my plate.
Yeah, I like mixing in things that are like people would traditionally just not consider avant-garde or like I like cooking like that.
All right,
yeah, because I don't know anyone who doesn't like occasionally like with when they're making their dishes, like my mom would occasionally the nopales that she would make, she would throw in like some chile ancho or a little bit of garlic powder or something, you know, just to zhuzh it up a little bit. It still tastes as good. It's different, but it was still good. You know, just trying stuff.
That was back in the day, man. I remember those were the good old days where just mom makes something and if you didn't eat, there's nothing else you can eat.
That's right.
She would go out in the back and take out the speedos from the cactus.
Yeah.
And then she would just throw them in the
stove. Yeah. The old school, man.
She still does it.
Yeah, she still does it to the day.
Yeah, that's nice. Having free nopales in your yard.
Well, it grows like weeds over there.
Must be nice.
It is nice. Too bad you don't live around where I live.
Ladies
and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We got to pay some bills. So, thanks to all our sponsors that have always been out there sticking it up for us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we will be back in, I think, about 2 minutes, 3 minutes. So, just hang in there and enjoy the commercial. We're back, guys. Big thank you to all our sponsors, man, for supporting us the last couple of months, man. I appreciate everything they do for us, man. So we are back with Mr. Hugo Gambino.
Why didn't you wear the name tag, bro?
Everywhere I've ever lived, man, everybody's always like Gambino. So yeah.
And the reason why it stuck to my head that way is because Quest told me a story a long time ago that with Coach Patterson.
May he rest in peace.
God rest his soul, man. But
all right, if everyone wants to take a break real quick, and we'll just come back later.
Right. It's already past that hour for them, but man, but we can do it out here. Shot you!
What?
Sorry. I'm still alive. But the story was that he kept on picking on you.
Yeah.
So you're a kid, and he called you Gumby for some reason. What?
Isn't it?
Were you doing, man, that he made you call
him? What was I doing, man? I don't know. Like, I feel like...
shit, dude.
I don't think that I was a bad kid. I think that I just was like... Ambitious. I like having fun.
You're very ambitious.
I don't know how to describe my character when
you
I was like
you walk into his class, dude. He didn't come to your house.
Yeah, I got in trouble a lot for like not for like fighting or being a bad kid. I just talked too damn much. I think that I just was like too much. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's probably why I didn't have any luck with, like, girls like this. I was like, hey, like, fuck off. No, it was, I mean, but I just liked, I enjoyed my youth. I think that I look back at my youth, especially, like, living in Ghana, and I talked to a lot of people about it. I had a lot of fun, man. Like, it was a great town to grow up in. I know that we have a bad rap in, like, Ghana, but I enjoyed it, man. I enjoyed my friends. Oh, I enjoyed the crazy ass teachers that we had, and, like, yeah, it was fun. I had a great time. I had a great childhood for sure.
My God, a lot of riffraffs back in the day, man.
Yeah, it was, man,
fucking crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's, like, weird, right? Because, like, you know, I definitely remember, like, you know, you don't wear certain colors, gangs, and yeah. You know what I mean? Like, but you knew the rules. Like, you know, you knew the rules.
Don't wear
things.
The red and black.
Yeah, you know, you but I always tell people, like, all the time, I was like, I was never in a gang, but you know, everybody's gang affiliated. Everybody knew somebody that was in a gang, right? Like, yeah. Like, you have, like, friends that were, like, in gangs, and some of the funniest people, you know, like... I don't know, man. I love my town for every, you know, for as rough as it is,
dude. That wasn't even just in Donna. I remember being in Westlake. If you wore a red shirt on a particular day, one of the principals saw you, like, hey, what are you doing? You know, what's why are you wearing that fucking red shirt? First of all, don't say fuck. Second of all, you know, why are you wearing it? You know, because, you know, it was gang colors or something.
But, you know, you had your, you know, like, I think that it was, like, always, like, this, I love the ability of, like, you know, you had friendships within a lot of different groups, right?
Yeah.
Like,
and
I think that to this day, like, even though, like, I've been away, like, through Facebook, right? Through social media, like, I've stayed connected to a lot of these people. And I love seeing, like, what, like, people, I find success in family and, like, just being happy.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So I love that I see people with, like, their kids, or, like, when they post things that they're, like, they went to, like, a vacation together. I love seeing shit like that, right? Like, I love seeing, like, absolutely, people that I grew up with just happy, right? Like,
right.
So it's fun, man. Like, I love that. I love that about my – and being here, like, for – like, when I visit – I get super, like, nostalgic, right? I drive by, like, my old school, my old neighborhood. You know, I haven't heard that yet. In the distance, you hear, like, cuetes and stuff. You know?
We call them cuetes down here in the RGB.
Yeah,
you know, you mean you haven't driven down Old E3 past the old Rio truck, just let one last.
Yeah.
Wham, wham. Oh, that's Hugo. Hugo's bad.
So, yeah, man, I mean, it's cool. It's always fun to be back. It's always fun to be back. Yeah. I love it.
And the funny story, the way I met Hugo was the kids, Quez would bring all his little friends over, you know, and I would tell him, hey, dude, do me a favor, invite all your friends on Saturday. Because I'm not going to do anything Saturday and bring them all over to you. What? We're going to do a track meet.
Yeah, you put the track meet.
It was Jesse.
Oh, was it Jesse?
Jesse, because he knew your older brother.
Oh, okay.
My brother.
And then, I had known him in school.
Right.
But when I saw him, like, oh, shit, it's Hugo.
Yeah, so we grew up. I think up until that moment, we didn't know, but we lived. I mean, we were like a couple blocks
away. Yeah, so like the next block over. Yeah.
So I remember, like, my brother and because he was kind of involved somehow with, like, my brother was very involved with the, like, cross country track, and you ran cross country and track. So, like, that group of individuals, like, all got together, and then we did, like, you had everything from, like, a semi 400 meter run.
My parents got so pissed off because I got, like, three water hoses and put them all together and made a freaking track in the backyard.
Yeah, dude, you had multiple events, not just like a running event.
We had the shot brick.
Yeah.
That was the shit. We had
I was just happy
that's
that
not dangerous at all.
Hey, I was just happy that I was playing. That's because I was fat.
He had two events, dude. Shot put and the short jump. Hey, that was the best one.
Well, I long jump.
No, you made me run.
I made them run.
Yeah.
But you know what? I kept you off the streets, damn it.
Yeah.
I kept you off the streets, and that's what it's all about. You see, now you're educated and you're cooking, and and damn it, I'm hungry. But yeah, I would do the little events, and you know what they would get, dude, if they got first base? A popsicle. That's what they would get. What little chubby kid does not love a popsicle? I'll tell you that. You know how hard they ran to get a popsicle, dude?
I can imagine. I can imagine it all going every last ounce of energy.
That's the correct term right there, Quentin. You know how tough it is for a big boy, little big boy, want a popsicle? Don't you want your popsicle get first place? Look at that. Look at that
little guy right there, Mark. Like, you found things to do, man. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, back in the day, like, you found to. Things.
It's not like, it's not like it used to be now, man.
Just, no, I mean, I know.
And the thing is, I talk about that now because Ro and I, we chit-chat in the morning before we go to work. Mm-hmm. And I was telling him, who you got today? I got Ro coming in. He goes, oh, that guy from the Cubbies. I go, yeah, the cook. He goes, all right, cool, man. He goes, this is the one you told me they run track. And they go, yeah. Dude, were you running a fat cam, dude? I go, no, I ran a fat cam. He goes, dude, you were the guy from Heavyweight. Wait. You were the cam guy.
Wait. Yeah.
Underrated movie, by the way.
You were Ben Stiller, dude. That's what you were doing.
That was a great movie.
Great movie. Underrated movie.
Such a great movie.
Yeah, it was a great movie, dude.
That is one of my favorite movies of all time.
And you are Ben Stiller from Heavyweight.
Child obesity. But no, that's not the right thing. But you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, man, and that's what I would do for these guys when they come over. And it was fun, man, because they had fun. I had fun because watching them run, dude. I'm like, check it out. I'm making these kids run. This is so awesome. But you know, the thing is about that is that it stayed imprinted in them until they got older. And they'll always remember that. And remember when we used to run track in your dad's backyard?
I think about it like things like that, man. Like you, I mean, I think that that happens in like most communities, right? Like in our era. But like, I feel like in Donna, especially, or in the Rio Grande Valley, like, because I think that a lot of people shared a lot of similar stories growing up,
right?
That you like a lot of people. Some people had stuff, and there's a lot of us that didn't have a lot,
yeah.
Right? And you made shift a lot of things, right? Like you made shift. Games, activities. I mean, I tell my wife about how my brothers and I, we used to, do you remember Cardenas, the corner store?
Yeah.
So we used to, my brother used to get us nickels.
It's that store.
And we used to hammer out nickels into size quarters. And we used to work on the arcade machine. So it's just like resiliency, man. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude. We used to like scavenge around for like nickels. And we used to hammer them out to the size of a quarter.
The train's coming. Get the pizzas and go put them on the track.
Yeah, dude. So it's different now, right? If I also try to explain that story to people that I work with, like in New York or in D.C., and try to explain like the Valley to them, it's a hard place to like describe to people, right? Because, you know, it's almost kind of like this kinship. When you meet someone that's from the Valley, you're like, you know certain lingo, certain phrases, things. So I think for me, when I try to relate to people or tell people like my upbringing, it's very different from a lot of regions in America, right? Like the Rio Grande Valley is very its own, right? And I think that as I've gotten older, I appreciate it more and more and more and more of like, Valleyism. So I was like, you know what I mean?
Cardenas, dude.
God, that's old school.
That's old school.
Had Dairy Queen right there on the side.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, dude.
I'm going to bring something up real quick here. Yep. There is a actual video I'm going to play for you guys so you can hear this. You, as soon as you hear, you know what I'm talking about.
Last week, six talented creators showed off their skills in our first ever Culinary Creators Cooking Showdown.
This was interesting.
Our fantastic contestants had 30 minutes to whip up a dish using an array of ingredients and skip it products.
Shout out to them. They're a really cool brand. Their family is originally from Laredo, but now they're in Austin, and they created like healthy, gluten-free like snacks that we all grew up with, especially now in this era of like not everybody can have like gluten or people with celiac and all that stuff.
Right.
So they invited me and like
six other like social media creators, and they asked us to submit a recipe. Mind you, like we just talked about it, I cook carb heavy, meat heavy.
Yeah.
Like I don't do like dairy allergy thing cooking, right? And their whole thing is like try to cook gluten-free, dairy-free, all this stuff. So the parameters were you have to come up with a recipe with only 7 ingredients under 30 minutes and has to try to be gluten-free, dairy-free, vegan. Yeah. So, yeah, I went in and I recreated – you guys know what molletes are, right? Essentially like a bolillo bread with beans and cheese in its basic form.
Right, right.
So I took gluten-free bread. I took the crust off. I processed that with a bag of their chips and their seasoning, some of their beans, dairy-free cheese, deep-fried it, seared it, some of their salsa, and then I made like a fancy gluten-free mollete, and I happened to win.
I know, dude. Congratulations on that.
Congratulations on that. So it was cool, man.
Was this televised, or was this only through the YouTube channel?
Yeah,
or?
They put it out through their socials. The and quality
looks – I like the quality, the video quality.
Shout out to their art director or their, you know, their production director.
Right, right.
His name is Aaron. Super cool guy, down to earth, very unassuming. Like I didn't know this about him, but he's like an Emmy Award winning like videographer, producer.
It looks like it.
I honestly thought it was a show. I'm like, holy shit, fucking wine.
It's cool, man. Like I've been asked to be on certain shows before, and I've I take cooking seriously, right? So I never like, and if you see my content, you know that I don't like being niche. I don't like being some guy on social media that to get clicks or to just be goofy and things like that. So I've had a couple of shows like that have reached out and it just hasn't like been the right fit. Right.
Okay.
Like, what was that one? The Gordon Ramsay one where like food goes up in a, like a, not Master Chef.
Which one? The Iron Chef?
No. So I don't know which one it is, but it's basically like you have to sabotage each other. And I was like,
that ain't gonna work.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not. That's not
my. You would have won, dude.
Put your finger in it.
Wait, what are you doing?
You don't understand where I'm from.
So yeah,
I got a finger.
All right, I quit. I'm staying true to kind of like a vision of what I'm trying to do. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's good, man. So you winning the whole thing. I know you got recognition for it. And the thing is that it's crazy because Quetz goes, dude, I go, we're going to have Ugo back in the show, right? I go, yeah, when he comes down. Yeah, he's coming down. You know he won some sort of cooking contest.
I go,
what are you talking about? I go, dude, check it out. I saw, holy shit. Like, representing RGB, not only that, Donna, Texas, bro.
Yeah.
I told you to spray paint on the side of a gas station.
I should, dude. I should just put some. put a pinche Ugo, Donna, Texas.
Donna, Texas.
Yeah, man, I for a long time, so I used to always keep Donna incognito, right? Like, because it's like, I don't want. No, like, now because I'm ashamed of Donna. Because I don't want people like.
That's a dirty lie. I've never heard of Donna.
I always say South Texas, right?
From like, Colombia?
I don't know. Sometimes, too, people on social media would like try to deep dive and try to find. So I just say, like, from a small border town in South Texas.
I'm from Sheridan.
But I always, like, when I give the opportunity, like, I tell people, like, yeah, I'm from Donna, Texas. Like, yeah, for sure. Like, but. Yeah, most people don't know where it's from.
Do
but
they step back and like, oh?
If they're from the valley, no. If they're from the valley, yes. Right. Yeah. People live in the valley. Yeah. If you're from the valley,
you're from the valley. Yeah. Oh man, where you from? I'm from McCown. Where you from? I'm from Mercedes. Where you from? Die.
What? I grew up. Yeah, we always grew up with that. Like, oh. Okay, yeah. But it's funny now, like I could say it, and like everywhere I've ever been, like people are like, it's like in between South Padre Island and McAllen, Texas, and then they're
whatever
like,
works.
South to San Antonio. They're like, oh, okay.
I have mentioned that South Texas. I mean, there's a couple of people that have emailed, you know, try to get guests on the show. And I say, they ask me, where are you from? I go, South Texas. Oh, you're from the Corpus Christi area? No, deep South Texas. No.
Keep going.
How far down? Way down.
On the border. Like, I'd just be like,
are you guys from Mexico?
Arshulico is literally the Rio Grande. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, but you just got to educate people on that. Yeah. But yeah, it's good.
That's cool, man. I mean, putting not only the RGB on the map, but putting that little town on the map is, I'm pretty sure it's a pride.
Can you not say it like that? That town.
There's a lot of famous people that come out of down Texas.
Down Texas, bro.
Me too.
That guy Cole Smith from he comes out in the Power Rangers Dino Force, dude.
That's true.
Oh, that. Okay, that's true.
I'm proud of it, man. I'm proud of Donna. Like, I think that, you know,
Norm Evans.
Yeah, you know what, man? I think for so long we've hung our hat on just like sports, and yes. I think that there's so much talent. Like in the arts that comes out of Donna.
Yes.
Like, I think that, you know, the music, there's a lot of people that are great musicians that are doing great things that become teachers and things like that.
Right.
But the fact that now they have a culinary arts program, I think that's like awesome. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know, I think I've told you guys this story where, like, growing up, I mean, in the 90s, early 2000s, like, there wasn't a lot of resources for us, right? There wasn't a lot of resources, but like, I think people managed and people had grit. And I think that that's what I love about our town, man. Like, we are a resilient, gritty ass community. You know, I definitely wish, like, I've seen other towns around us grow, and I wish Donna would grow more. I wish there was a lot more commerce in it.
Right.
But, you know, like, that's just someone from the outside in looking, right? Like, I'm not gonna, I don't know what happens here, so I can't like speak on it. So,
I mean, Donna's staying kind of small because everything else around it is kind of growing.
Yeah,
everything's growing in and out. So, yeah. You know, but it'll get there, man. It's like you said, there's so much talent that we've had on the show and that we've come across too that it'll get there. It'll get its recognition.
We got a Walmart.
Oh yeah,
we got a Walmart.
We got a Dutch Bros.
Dutch Bros.
No, man, I think that there's like a lot of. I think that there's a lot of talent here, and that's just like valley wide. I think that there's a lot of talent, right?
Absolutely.
Like, I think for so long the mindset was the only way you can be successful is if you leave, and I don't believe that that's the case, right? Like, right. I think that you can. There's a lot of community. I think the last time I was here, I told you guys this that there's. I see a lot of communities in America doing this, and I think the Valley is doing this now, where they're trying to bring their talent back, right?
Yeah,
like
I saw
Mission really doing that in like their downtown area, where they're trying to like give like tax breaks or rent breaks on people that have left and come back.
Right.
So I think that, yeah, you know, I think that there's like a lot of people that are like, hey man, like South Texas is pretty nice, right? Like, I think it's growing. I see it growing every single time that I'm here, for sure.
Oh yeah.
Quick question: Do you by any chance? I mean, this is a shot in the dark. I know you're living in Arizona now.
Yeah.
Would there any be a chance of you coming back home base and making a?
That's what I was going to ask him.
Restaurant or, I mean, I don't want to play out the whole food truck thing because there's so many of them now.
Yeah,
well, it's like New York. There's a food truck every corner. And the food truck parks. They're all great.
A couple of years, where the Redskins Stadium's at.
Yeah.
Right next to it, there's gonna be a big food trucks.
Oh, yeah. Really? Good for that. Yeah.
That's gonna be awesome.
That's gonna be awesome.
Right after the games, everybody just walked over there.
Yeah, exactly.
Man, that's money right there.
Yeah,
exactly. But I mean, is that ever came up in your mind, or has ever crossed your mind about coming home and finally settling roots here? Or do you plan to just live out your days out of South Texas?
So, great question. But I think that's like there's so many elements to that, right? Like, I think now, like, one, I have kids, right? Like the school system that my kids are in right now, love it, right? Like, not to say, like, there's a lot of great school systems here, but like, particularly like the one he's in right now, like, I love it. I love like the neighborhood that I'm in. Like, I love where I'm living. I know for sure I won't ever open a restaurant. I know the commitment. I know the commitment that it takes to open a restaurant. I know. That's why I'm open to pop ups. I'm open to doing things like that.
Right.
It's just, man, it's like you're living and you're dying every single day in the in the space, right? Like,
yeah.
Right. I'm not opposed to moving back to the Valley. But that's never like, oh no, I would never move back to the Valley. It would have to be like a situation, right, where there was like a great opportunity. Like, one of the reasons I never lived in the Valley after I left was because most of my career, like, I wanted to work in Michelin star restaurants. And that was in New York, DC, Chicago. Then I worked in the fashion industry and I worked with, you know, Tom Ford, and I wanted to design. And so that was like very much like in New York, Chicago. Right. So it wasn't that I never wanted to move back. It's just like my career never brought me back. Right. Like,
I got you.
Now, you know, like, I have a little bit more flexibility of like where I can live.
Mm-hmm.
Economics plays into it, right?
Like, exactly.
More land down here. It's like more affordable than anywhere I've ever lived.
Yeah.
Right.
But there's, you know, there's a lot at play, right? Like, there's what does my wife think? And, you know, she likes the area as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving you a long-winded answer for something that I don't know.
Yeah, right? All I'm hearing is hell no.
No. But
it's just not the end game.
Yeah, no, it's not the, it's like the I don't know game, right? Like, it's really I don't know.
If I'd be in a good place like that, I wouldn't come back. I'm just saying.
No,
I still love my city, but I'm in a better place.
Well, he's saying it, like, there's a lot of factors, you know, he's not going to move back just because.
Right.
But, you know,
so I'll give you a scenario, right? Like, let's say somebody's like, hey, man, we want to fund you. We want to back you. We want you to open up a restaurant and we want you to like be here, come back. And we want you to like be a representation.
The dream. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, let's play that out. Right. Like, and this goes back to like the original thing that you said of like the critic of like what people are used to. I'm going to open up a restaurant that I want to open my way. I don't want it to be just straight like Mexican food. I want to cater to like my cuisine.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm now uprooting my whole family for saying like, hey, we're going to come here for like this opportunity that somebody's going to fund. And let's say that the restaurant, 90% of restaurants close within the year.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
that's true.
Like, sometimes I move down. It doesn't do well. Like, it doesn't get the
recognition,
that, you know, I would want it to get, or like, and financially we're bleeding, it's not happening. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're here and I don't work in the restaurant industry, I don't have like a career, so now what? Right now I'm leaving again, like, that's kind of like, these are the kind of things that play into my head of
you're absolutely right. It's very hit or miss kind of thing to just say, oh, well, I'm going to open up a restaurant, you know?
Yeah. And the food, like, for me, like, in the restaurant, especially like in the restaurant space.
Yeah.
I'm a very casual guy outside of like, in general, I'm a perfectionist when it comes to hospitality, right?
Sure.
Like, I'm a perfectionist of like how a guest is greeted as they come in, how the table is set, how a server works the room, how a manager works the room, how fast tickets are coming out, how clean plates are being wiped on the way. Like, I am like hyper vigilant when it comes to hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
That I would be in, like, not in, I'm not insane. Like,
pretty much the Gordon Ramsay of the Valley.
No. I grew up in this like industry of hospitality where like perfection is not feasible, but striving for perfection every single day is, right? So every day if I was to open up a restaurant here, my mindset would be, I want a Michelin star. Yeah. I want a James Beard Award. I want to make sure that this space is recognized nationally and not just regionally.
Right.
Absolutely.
So for that, it's not just the food.
It's the production crew ready.
Yeah, it's everything. It's like back of the house. It's how well every plate glass is polished. It's how well the server knows the menu and how well they know wine, how well they know beverage. It's so much more than just food, right? And right. I become super like hyper vigilant of that. That's what's made me successful. Absolutely. Right? Like what I, as a chef, and when I worked for the Chicago Cubs, we got James Beard Award, like recognized at Chicago for awesome. Like the restaurant spaces. And that just comes from every place that I've ever worked. They've instilled that in me. They've instilled that like level of like hyper focus on the service, how we right. treat the guests, how they come in. And
right.
Yeah, man, it'd be rough. It'd be really, yeah. really rough.
Yeah. I was thinking that to myself, because you have been exposed to like Michelin star services and restaurants. And like you said, it's perfection. Is it may not be attainable, but you can work towards
you're,
it.
You're seeking it every you're, single you're day.
Seeking it every day.
And let me be very like clear about that, man. Like going to a place like Teddy's or going to a place like Annalise Taqueria, they're doing that. You don't need to be a Michelin star. They're doing it. They're doing it with the and that's what I think that I love about what I'm seeing in the food scene here mm-hmm. is that people are like hyper focused on the ingredients. They're hyper focused on the products that they're pumping out. And it's not just like, oh, I'm just putting out food and let me see like if it gets blown up on Instagram. No, people care about what they're doing, man. And yeah, I love that. I really love that about it.
It's their art.
Yeah, man. Like, you know, people are putting in a lot of passion. And I think that that's why, you know, like when we talk about like food critics or Yelpers, it's like a lot of times I look at the human piece of it. Like there's somebody in that kitchen that's been working 15 hours a day for 6 days a week to conceptualize a dish, to put it out, for a server to come out. And then for that one person to come in on a bad day, like annoyed about whatever's happening on their personal life, and then just shitting a review on that restaurant that's working really hard.
Exactly.
Right.
So exactly.
That's where I it's have a problem with it. Because it's like this industry's fucking hard, man. Like it's so hard. I left it for a reason. Mm-hmm. You know, I was passionate about it, but it you know, that's why I respect people that are still doing it, that are still grinding it.
Yeah.
That for me, that's why when you say, would you open up a restaurant? That level of like hyper focus, hyper attention, hyper dedication, where I'm okay leaving my wife and my two kids at home for 16 hours a day. I don't know if I have that in me.
Wow. No. I gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like, because once I'm in there, like I'm not thinking of my wife. I'm not thinking of my two kids. I'm thinking of service. Yeah. I'm thinking of like how well food is coming out. Like I'm tasting everything. I'm making sure that wine pairings are on point.
Extreme to focus pretty much.
Yeah. Because I do care about the hospitality like experience. I do care that the guest is coming in and they're going to experience something that they've never experienced before, not just with the food, but with the service.
Right.
Like,
right.
Cause those two go hand in hand, right? Like how many times you go to a restaurant, the food's awesome, the service sucks. And you're just like, I'm never coming back.
Yeah.
Right. And vice versa. Right. Service is good, but the food was like, fine. It's all right, man. Yeah. Like,
up to par.
to really hit the fucking mark, everything needs to be in sync every single night. Right. Every single night.
Exactly. Well put, man.
Because you are right. All those details, they do matter in the overall experience.
Yeah. And for me, it's hard for me to take that off, that switch. I work in a restaurant and I'm in the restaurant and I'm looking like, is there a wet rag hanging out? Is the server hanging on the table? Does the server know like what they're talking about? And I don't judge them. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm open to it because I also put things into context. I'm not going to go in a pinche taqueria and be like, oh, este vato's not doing this.
Right? Get on that, bro.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I go into every scenario being like, man, I'm almost like to the point where like I give the server grace if I see it. I was like, nah, I tell my wife, man, they're busy right now. And this guy's like behind like just let's make his life easy today. Like, let's not be difficult, right? Like I read the room when I go to a restaurant kind of thing.
Get the lobster.
Yeah. You know, so it's one of those kind of things where like if I see someone trying and caring and they're like falling behind, I'm like, fuck yeah, dude, don't worry about us. We're good.
Right.
But if I see you blatantly not give a fuck about service,
right?
I have a real fucking problem with that. I have a real fucking problem with
this. Does this interview turn into an interview for us to join a restaurant right now, buddy?
No, not for me. No way.
It's different, man. Like I obviously
you
like,
demand perfection.
Well,
is that what you're looking at? Pretty much in
terms of like, if it's my team,
just exactly. Basically do your job.
Yeah. No. Okay. Because you're going to make me sound like a fucking like crazy man right now. Like, no. I think I always put it like this, right? Like, I always tell people, nobody put a gun in my head to sign up for this job.
Right.
Right. So if I'm going to, I always tell people that my mom raised me on one single thing, right? Like, you work hard because your name's attached to it. Right. Okay. So I've taken that everywhere I've gone, in the kitchen, right, front of the house, back of the house. If I'm doing a job, my name, my family is represented in what I'm doing. Right. So exactly. I take pride in what I'm doing.
Exactly.
Put me in the dish pit. I don't give a shit. Like when I worked for the Cubs, I was in a 3-piece suit in the front working like the room, and the dish pit went down and my ass was in the back with a dishwasher cleaning plates. I'm on. Right.
More I don't give a shit. Exactly.
Because I don't want service to drop. I think that's what I'm talking about. Like
where
everybody is like hands on deck. That's my level. And of
that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be.
I don't believe in like, that's not my job.
Exactly.
You know, so
exactly
in the restaurant space, like I want that. You know, I used to work with this guy named Tim Beezer in DC, and the guy was polished, the guy was on it, and we both were so synced together of like what service should be. Mm-hmm. And we were so like passionate about it, like that it was hard to like, we had to bring ourselves down of like expectations sometimes, because it's like, dude, we're so in it and we're so about it that we can't expect everybody, like we can't expect a part-time server that's trying to go into nursing to be passionate about hospitality like I am, right? So there's sometimes where I definitely had to like tone it down.
Yeah, you sound very empathetic, and that can be helpful, you know.
I think that my wife being a therapist has helped me. My wife has definitely helped me in the industry of like, you have to be, to the point you said, empathetic, and mm-hmm. you really got to see it from somebody else's view, right? Like,
right.
Yeah.
If they're not doing it, did I like not explain my, because it might not be them all the time. It might be me sometimes.
Yeah.
Right. Like, right. You know what I mean? Like, leadership is understanding that us four here think differently.
Right.
So, right. That's what I always tell people, that for me, hospitality is not somebody, you walking in a restaurant and somebody being overly like nice to you. Hospitality mm-hmm. is, let's say you guys walk into the restaurant, right? You guys are walking in, you're three different guys. My job is to figure out what your guys' needs is, or what your style of dining is, and me adjusting to you individually.
I got you.
Right? You might be a guy that wants to be talked to a lot. You might be a guy that says, fuck off, don't talk to me. You might be a guy that's like, I just want to be here and I need someone to talk to. I am lonely, whatever. And my, no, I didn't mean it like that. But like,
you hit it right on the nose.
You got us.
You know how to read the room. Yeah. Good job, buddy.
No, like my job, I always tell people, man, like my job is to meet someone for the first time and understand what their needs are within like 10 seconds.
Right.
And
exactly. As it should be.
Yeah. You know, and I think that's what's hospitality, man. It's like,
exactly.
So like when we talk about it, I'm somebody that's like, you gotta be about it. Right.
Right.
Like you gotta, and that's why for me, like, I don't know if that style of service would work here. I don't know if people would want that. I don't know. Like,
you could put it out there and people would probably take it, but I mean, from all the service I received, it's pretty much just like, make yourself at home. You know, we're sorry we're busy, but we'll get to you.
Exactly. That's the way it is. Yeah.
It's just the way we've accepted that it is. And I don't know if anyone, I've never seen anyone get that upset that, you know, it's a little slow. Maybe when they're hungry.
I have.
You'd be surprised.
I think there's like a rule of thumb of a reservation. I don't know. Do you guys go to a lot of places with like reservations, or you just like pop in?
Just pop in.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So like a lot of times I always try to tell people, like, if you're popping in, understand what time you're popping in, what time of night, right?
Exactly.
If you have a reservation, let's say your reservation's at 7. I want to put this out to everybody that makes a reservation. You're not going to get set at 7. Like, the rule of thumb when you go to a restaurant, it's around 7. Mm-hmm. But you're also working with, like, scenarios of tables that have been that they're trying to move to get you set around 7. So have a little grace if you go to a restaurant and you don't get set at 7. Like, go to the bar, have a drink, or understand with the mindset that you might not, it might not happen, right? Yeah, like, I think that we just have to have a little bit of grace when we go out to eat. You got to get people are busting their ass, man. Like, serving, busing, cooking, it's hard. Right. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, we're asking these people to be jovial and nice when they walked in the door and they might have gotten evicted from their apartment, or they can't make, they're really hoping that they can make rent tonight, or like they had a death in the family and then they like shut it off and they're like, hi, how are you? Right. Yeah. So it's like, I think that there needs to be a little bit more empathy within the hospitality industry for sure.
Yeah, what I said earlier about I've never seen anyone get that upset because things are slow. Let me clarify that a little bit. I guess I was saying I have never gotten that upset.
yeah.
Because, you know, I get it. Yeah. I do notice when people are like trying to do a good job for you.
Yeah.
You know, for me. And I get it. You know, I decided to come at 7 o'clock, you know, and I see all the tables are full and, you know, people. When people are having a good time, they don't want to leave their table right away. So, you know, I try to be understanding.
The other side of that coin, though, man, is like, you're also valid in being like, fuck, I'm a little annoyed that my table, right? Like, if you have like a maitre d', a GM, a server that comes up and is not meeting you with empathy either, like, hey, dude, we're fucking busy. Like, deal with it. That's a fucking problem, right? Right. Like, that's a problem. Like, I think that both parties needs to meet like in the middle.
Yeah.
That like you like I don't dine out often a lot here. Like, if I do eat, like, I'm going to a taqueria, I'm going to like a burger joint, I'm going to like, excuse me, like, I'm getting barbecue. Like,
right.
So I can't really speak to the valley dining scene that well, because when my wife and I, we come down, we don't necessarily go to like a lot of sit down restaurants where you're having a service. I can't even tell you what it's like here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, I don't know, man. It's obviously like, this is a topic where I'm like, really.
Yeah,
like,
that's why we asked the question.
That's why I say like, there's the family factor of it, but then there's like the hyper perfectionist hospitality individual in me.
Because like I could see, like, if you were just, you know, a guy in the world, you know, if it's your anniversary or your wife's birthday, or, you know, but you also got your kids with you, you're gonna, you know, you made the reservation for 7 o'clock, you're gonna be you know, annoyed. Look, I got kids, you know, my wife is hungry. You don't want to see her when she's hungry.
Yeah.
You know, we need to sit down. We need
exactly. WC put, fucking Freddy's took 3 hours to make an ice cream.
I was there. Oh my god!
Should have gone to Buzz Bowl Creamery.
Buzz Bowl Creamery. Should have gone down the street, man. You should have one of those, bro. One of our sponsors, man. Yeah. But I guess you could say it's food for thought. I mean,
literally food for thought, man.
But you said you would come down one night, one day, and just
Like, if there was an opportunity, man, that if somebody would host me, like, in terms of like a restaurant, would be like, hey, we would love to do a dinner series with you, using our space, and we could sell like tickets for this like dinner. Hmm. I would love to do it. I would love to like cook. But you know, like, with that being said, I would be very particular of like how we serve it. Like, it's like, I want to make sure that if I'm giving people a taste of like my food or my experience, I want them to have a good time. I want them to experience like the whole thing. Right. Like, so
yeah,
man, I would love to do it down here. Like, I think that would be a great opportunity.
Sounds like a plan.
Yeah. I mean, you know, shout out to my friend Patrick, that's always like trying to to like make these kind of connections when I come down here. I'm always just down here for such a short period of time that it's sometimes like really hard. But yeah, man, I would love that. I would love to showcase like
that would be dope, man. That'd be all badass.
I mean, we can't guarantee anything, but I mean, we can put it out there into the world. And maybe someone is listening.
Something might pop up. You never know.
Yeah, because I mean, we from all the people that we've met in the show, we realize that the Valley is a pretty small place. People know people, or people make connections. You know, it just really grows from there. You know, hopefully, if anyone's listening out there right now or watches the podcast, you know, if they pass the word around,
man. Yeah, it would be fun, man. Like, I think it would be a fun time to do that. Like, I did it. Like, there was a potential for like a pop up restaurant that I was going to do in San Francisco in May.
Mm-hmm.
And very similar, right? Like, because this is like dinner series happen all the time, like this, where like, let's say I own a restaurant in Chicago and I have a really good friend that works out of New York or whatever, and I'm like, hey man, I want you to come over here and put a menu together. We're gonna sell tickets, and your menu, my team will put it to help put it together. And you know, and it's cool because it's exposure for like the chef, and it's also exposure for like the restaurant,
for the business,
right? So it's like both kind of things.
Everybody wins.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's just good to do these kind of events, man. Like, I think they're fun. So yeah, I mean, I would never put that off the table.
That's not a bad idea to have that on the run.
That's not a bad idea.
We are an hour and 19 minutes into the podcast. Oh, shit. Conversation is great, man. I know.
Oh, shit. It's about to go down, dude. It's about to go down.
Well, I mean, before we sign off, we want to get all the social media from Google here. Where can we follow you and what's upcoming?
Yeah, so Ugo_Gamino is like my handle. Ugo's Cookbook to Life. Right now, basically, like just writing and cooking, right? Like, I've obviously been like trying to get published for a while, but nothing like big I would say like in the near future that's like happening. I got like collaboration and partnership stuff that I'm doing, but nothing where it would be like I'm going to be at a restaurant. And you know, I think the only one that's like I'm in the works and doing is like that San Francisco restaurant. That's going to be out in the beginning of May. But outside of that, man, yeah, just hustling, working.
There you go, dude. That's what it's all about, man.
Ooh, I want to say thank you for
coming
out the podcast.
Number twice.
Ugo_Gamino. @Ugo_Gamino.
Don't forget to look him up on TikTok where all his stories are there.
Yeah,
those are great stories too, man.
Check out all these stories while he's making the food. Gotta eat the food because it has meaning.
Exactly, dude.
No, thank you guys. I'll say this before we sign off.
Go ahead, man.
I've done a couple podcasts like after you guys. You guys were like probably like the first one I ever did.
Yes,
and I remember like my wife gave me good advice like when I was like going to another one. So I was like, oh, I don't know what to say. She's like, just do it like you were doing it with your friends from the Valley, like that you're talking to them and just like hanging out with them. So, shout out to you guys, man, that every time like I've been on like a speaking engagement or something like that, I've always kind of brought myself in this mindset of like I'm talking to the guys.
Thank you. Well, next time you come down, I'm demanding food this time, dude. I know every time you come down, you say mama owns a kitchen.
Yeah, I don't mess with mom's kitchen.
We got to bring you a kitchen next time ever.
Well, there you go. Maybe we'll do that pop-up.
Remember, he asked for balls earlier.
The gizzard or whatever. Those are goat balls. That's what he wants over there. Anyways, guys, Gamito, thank you very much, man.
Thank you for having me.
Hopefully, we'll be a third part three.
Yeah.
Next time you come down again, so we can see what else you've done, because this guy has a long journey in front of him, man.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Long project. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the podcast for this week. Next week, guys, it's going to be a doozy, man. We, on Thursday at 7:30, we have, hold on, man, I have my phone here. It locked up on me. Hold on. We have Lauren Mary Kim on the podcast.
Oh, okay.
She is a stuntman Stunt woman. You know what? A stunt double. All right.
Stunt double.
Yes. She's done Mortal Kombat video games. She has come on The Mandalorian. She's come on so many, even with the Defenders for Netflix on Marvel.
Nice.
So awesome. Many different movies and shows she's been on. So it's going to be very interesting. Make sure you tune in next week at 7:30. Hopefully this thing's not here with me because you probably scare her off. But it's going to be a great episode. But this week, we have OK Robot as our
video. As our closing
music. Our closing music for the week.
All right.
Hopefully they don't sue.
Yeah, hopefully that.
Please don't sue. We don't have money.
Yeah, you can see quiz. But other than that, guys, I just want to say thanks to each one of you guys for coming on the podcast. Thank you. Any last words, Chief?
Puro pinche nada, Texas.
Texas, man. Keep representing the Valley, man. We appreciate everything you do for us, Superman.
Thank you, guys.
Like always, guys, I mean, we always end the podcast just like this.
Yep.
You ready?
With friends.
Three, two, one. Ladies, Gators! Peace out. ¶¶